welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Back to doing that, we thought the building would be done, and of course it wasn't. So I was in that series with discipleship. I didn't want to stop. So I just want to take this week, and I want to talk a little bit about the church and the body of Christ and us as a church here. As a pastor, I love to talk about the church. It's important that we understand what we have. And it's important that we are all the time stirred up to truths. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just want to talk about the ecosystem today. Just sustaining life in the local church. Sustaining life in the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 12. It says this, "For as the body is one," hold on, I want to pray real quick, I'm sorry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would help us today. I ask Holy Spirit that you would anoint these lips of clay today. Lord God, you would take the words, if imperfect vessel, but Lord, the word of God would come through perfectly in a way that could minister to all of our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take and translate these words into what needs to be heard. I pray today, God, I thank you these people today are like wood and the words I speak will be like fire. I'm asking God today that you would help. So we give you this time as we sit down and open up the bread of life together. What an important part and piece of the local church is the preaching of Scripture. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. For what by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. If we were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism, no division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You know, Paul uses the human body as a metaphor for the church, which I think is an interesting thing, that he would use a body, right? In actual, this word body here is soma. It's the word that we get the physical body of a person. And you can look at your body today and you can understand there's many parts, stuff that's going on today that you're not even have to think about. Your kidneys are filtering right now, not have to think about it. Your brain is calculating, not have to really think about things per se. You know, your lungs are moving, or you're breathing today, not having to think about it. There's just stuff going on inside of our body. And Paul uses the human body as a metaphor. Even Jesus said, he said, I'm the head. And we as the church are the body. The church isn't an organization, it's an organism. The church isn't an organization, it's an organism. It's something that's living. It's a living thing. Why? Because Christ is alive in us. Oh, it's alive because the Spirit of God, His Spirit lives within us. We know this. This is nothing new today. I'm just stirring us all up today. But we're the body, and the Spirit lives inside of each and every one of us. The Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So a body, your body is not an organization. It's an organism. It's something that's living, something that's alive. And the church is about people, right? The church is about people. Now, I want to talk about the local church. We're going to break this down a little bit today and give some things to think about. But at the end of the day, we understand that this facility, this is a facility. This is not the church, even though we put the name church on it. This is the facility that the church meets in. Facilities facilitate things. So the facility facilitates all of us, right, to encounter the presence of the Lord together as the church. The gathering of the church has been something that's been going on for thousands of years. We have been gathering for thousands of years, and there is a movement today in America especially that people don't value the local church anymore. They don't want anything to do with the local church anymore, and they think, well, I'll just go when it pleases me, and I don't really need that. I can just stay home. If you don't watch out, the church begins to lose its value in your eyes. We're an organism. We are a people. We're a body of people. We're going to leave out of here. We're going to still be the church. If this place burns down tomorrow, I'll guarantee you we'd be meeting under a shelter somewhere because we're the church. Right. We're the church. It's an organism. It's something that's alive. It's alive. Now, what is an ecosystem? That's a good question. An ecosystem. This is what was coming to me over the last couple weeks. An ecosystem is an environment where all the components within that environment work together to form life, to produce what's needed for things to thrive and to grow. An ecosystem, and it can be an unhealthy ecosystem, but I'm talking about healthy ecosystem. It's all the components that works within an environment that causes something to thrive or to grow. Everything working together. Everything working together to produce an environment to thrive and grow. All the organisms, now it's something living, right? Living within an ecosystem rely on each other for survival. This is important. This is real important for us. All the living organisms within an ecosystem are dependent and rely on each other for their survival. Now, as the body of Christ, right, the body, right, metaphor, body, it speaks to of interconnectedness. It has to. That's why Apostle Paul said, how can the eye say it's not of the body? How can the ear say it's not of the body, right? He said, matter of fact, the unpresentable parts or the modest parts of your life, you cover them and give greater attention to things that are unpresentable than you do to your presentable parts. What's he trying to get across to us? He's trying to get to understand. Listen, the people it ain't about me in this pulpit. You understand, right? I can be gone tomorrow. And this church is not built on me. And this church has never been built on a person. It's built on us. And it's built on Jesus. It's built on Jesus. It's important for us to realize that every part is important. Every part. And the parts that aren't functioning, right? The parts that aren't functioning, it hinders what the body can do. You get someone's kidneys start to fail, it's going to start hindering. Someone has heart conditions, it starts to hinder. So the ecosystem, as the body of Christ, we're interdependent on each other. The ecosystem is all of the components working together to produce life. The church is a body. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Just flip over just a few books. Go eat popcorn, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Ephesians chapter 4. You guys know this scripture. I'm not sharing anything you don't know. Verse 11 says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why is the fivefold ministry, this is what they call the fivefold ministry gifts. Why are they given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a teleos man, a fully integrated man, a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we can express Christ in his fullness, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, what's the next three words? May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Christ is the head, right? Now look what it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's sounding like an ecosystem. Growth, life, every part supplying. Now I want you to look at it in the New Living Translation, just a little, simpler here, we can see it together. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Full of love. Listen, when we're talking today, I don't want to be too long with this, but I want you to understand, when we talk, most generally when the New Testament talks about the church, in most cases it's talking about the local church. Now, yes, it does talk about where it's a generalized. We have a universal church. That means everybody that calls upon the name of the Lord, we're all part of the body of Christ, right? Whether you're a part of a local church or not, it doesn't matter. We're members of the body. We belong to a body that's bigger than us, right? You're connected to a body. The universal church is all the believers. And matter of fact, listen, this is not just believers alive. Do you know there's a church in heaven? They're all part of us. Ephesians talks about that. Paul prayed it. He said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So just because you lay down your tent doesn't mean you die. Amen. And number two is, it means you're still part of the church. Amen. The people that have gone on before us, they're still alive. So family, right? We're all part of a universal family, and family is huge in the heart of God. It's a big theme in the heart of God. We see it, the family concept. He's known as the Father, right? The Father God, right? We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have this familial verbiage, this terminology. It's being used, right? The Bible calls us children of God, right? Family is big in the heart of God, and it should be in our heart also. Family, a universal church, but also inside the universal church is the local church. And like I said a minute ago, the local church is many times when the Bible is using the word church in the New Testament, it's talking about the local church. I mean, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church at Corinth, and he talks about the body. Yes, he's talking about a universal church. Yes, he's talking about the body as a whole around the world, but he's actually pinpointing this to a local church. The local church is a microcosm of the universal church. It's a microcosm, a small world, right? Of the universal church. And really, honestly, the local church is the harvest of the universal church. We get to participate in this. And we see this through Scripture, like in Revelations, he said, he that had the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Apostle Paul is going and establishing churches. And he's putting elders and leaders into those churches to lead and guide in these different areas, right? And people come to their local bodies, their local church. It's a big deal. Family. Family. Now, I had them put this up here. The Bible, this is what the church is. The Bible emphasizes the church as a local group of identifiable believers committed to Christ and each other working together to glorify God and to serve His mission. This is what the church is. It's a local group of identifiable believers that come together. They're committed to Christ together, and they're committed to each other together, and they're there to glorify God and to pursue a mission together. We at Faith Christian Fellowship, we're on a mission. We're on a mission, church. God has placed you here. He's drawn you here. However you came, wherever you come from, God has placed you in this body for a mission. For a mission. You're a part of this local church. The idea of a believer living independently of a local church is foreign concept to Christianity. That's a foreign concept. I don't know about you, but I want to go back to the original model. And that was a foreign concept to the early church. And we can make all kinds of excuses. But that's a foreign concept to Christianity because, our covenant and our commitment is not just to God, it's also to one another. Jesus even said it. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you what? You love your neighbor. Jesus actually said it like this in John 15. Had the boys there. He said, you know how everybody's going to know you're my disciples? Because of your love for one another. He wasn't looking outside. He was saying the love that you guys have for one another in this circle is actually going to be what everybody's going to take note of. Amen. Mark Dever said it like this. When a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't just join a local church because it's a good habit for growing in spiritual maturity, though that's a truth. He joins a local church because it's the expression of what Christ has made him, a member of the body of Christ. So how do I help? Let me give you a few things today. So things that I want to get across to you, whether you've been to church here for the last 26 years, whether you've been to church here for the last 26 weeks. I want us all to understand some things today. How do I help the local church ecosystem? How do I help the local church ecosystem? How do I help sustain life? Sustain life. Number one is this, covenant-mindedness. Covenant-mindedness. In a healthy ecosystem, there needs to be healthy people in the right environment. I need you to get this. The people and the environment are interacting and contributing to the health of the church. Unhealthy people, now listen to this now, unhealthy people in the right environment, they take from the environment but don't contribute. Healthy people and the wrong environment, often these people will either leave or they'll become unhealthy in themselves. So healthy people with healthy environments is in this ecosystem. Now, the problem is that if you and I don't watch out, we'll begin to have a cohabiting mentality and we'll bring it into the church. That's what's going on in the world. There's a lot of cohabitation that happens out there. And what happens is that they bring this type of mentality and people bring that. And you may have that mentality also. I'm just trying to lay it out for us. And you begin to bring that into the church or you begin to adopt a cohabiting mentality into the church. Cohabiting. When people cohabit together, they live together. You do life together, but the first time something doesn't go right or something doesn't work out, they jump ship. When it doesn't cater to someone's need, when the going gets tough, out the door. Or at least they sort of disconnect from the activities and just become attenders. Cohabiting. It's me-focused. It's me-centered. It's independent, not interdependent. It's critical, short of loyalty and quick to find fault. So it's not on you. I get that. I'm just saying we got to guard our hearts from this. See, a person that's cohabiting, they're not all in on the relationship. They're in it for the feel. They're in it for the ecstasy. They're in it for the 5 minutes. But when the shine wears off, all of a sudden now I'm going to go find me something else that goes and tickles my fancy. Come on, somebody. Because listen, you're going to find the shine go off of things. And you look close enough, you're going to find faults in me. You're going to find faults in people around. Listen, it's not a perfect place. Church is not perfect. There's a lot of stuff. Come on, somebody. And this is huge. We have to watch, because if not, we'll bring that type of mentality. And people do this because they don't want people to truly see them. The one thing I love about guys from Rock, I love that about Josh. I don't know how many people would actually sit up there and say the same thing that he did. Well, I was in a relationship 3 months. No, it's never, guys, it's never good. Listen, I'm sorry, but listen, you need to get through your stuff, right? And then you can have a healthy relationship. Can I get an amen, Sheila? Huh? Or they take your phone. But you know what? We need to be vulnerable. Because people don't like commitments, because if people really, this is the fear, if people really see me, then they won't like me for who I am. If they actually see me, they'll actually reject me. Listen, we have got broken people. This is huge. I was in this week thinking about this, about covenant-mindedness, and started thinking about covenant and this whole cohabiting type of mentality that finds its way into the church sometimes. It's this, is that people they're bringing their brokenness to the church and their attachment problems from their childhood, all of that, bringing it into the church, and the next thing you know, they begin to adopt those things, and it begins to avoid, they begin to go into, they don't want to be rejected. So what they do, they kind of stand kind of arm's length. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to do things. I'm certainly not going to go and be vulnerable in the journey group, because what would people reject me? Come on. Right? So we have to be covenant-minded. Now, what is covenant-mindedness? God put me in this. He placed me in this body. I am here thick and thin. When the feelings leave, I'm still committed. Your marriage, listen here, your marriage goes through cycles. And if you're basing your feelings off of your commitment to your wife or your husband off of your feelings, listen here, you'll be divorced within 7 years. What keeps you is your covenant. What keeps me is my covenant. Amen. And what I find out is that if I stay with my commitment, my feelings come along. Because your feelings, your senses have no sense. Amen. It's true. When things happen, I don't jump ship. I work on it. I work on it. Matter of fact, family's hard. It's hard. Being a part of family's hard. It's hard. Somebody's going to probably look at you the wrong way. You ever looked at somebody the wrong way? Come on. We've all been here. Next thing you know, you're mad, got your lip down all the way down to the floor. Next thing you know, you're upset and mad. I'm not in for church. I'm not talking about people. I don't want people to get hurt. But it's about being, people are people. People have flaws and warts and ugliness. Right? As Ronald points to Donald back there. It's hard, but you know what? This is the key in my covenant with you guys. Our covenant together in this church is that we are one spirit together. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. That's just not talking. Listen now, it's not just talking about you and I. Just talking about being one spirit with the Lord Himself. Yes, it is. But listen, He's the body. He's the head. We're the body. We're together. So if I'm one spirit with Jesus, I'm also one spirit with you. And spiritual ties are strong. Strong. Hallelujah. You guys are all right here. We're all joined. We're all part of the same family. The Apostle Paul says no more Jew or Greek. There's no bond or free. There's no male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. One. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, real quick here. Just being covenant-minded. Make every effort. Now, this is huge. Now, just read the Bible. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. Verse 5, there is one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living what? Through all. We're one. So you got to deal with me. You got to deal with me. Right? We get covenant-minded. There's a real spiritual connection that's happened. God has set the members in the body, in the local church, as it's pleased Him. I love this because He does. He pulls us together and He melts us together with His Spirit. And we're learning this. You know, we're learning how to become more one together. We're learning each other and we're becoming more one. Just like a marriage. The church is a marriage. I know we don't want to talk like it. We hate that word because that means commitment. But this is the way that God sees the church. It's a committed bunch of people together for a mission to glorify God, help others. Man, we're together doing this. We got to stay covenant-minded and not cohabiting-minded. Because covenant will keep me. When I don't want to do something, covenant keeps me. When I don't want to serve, my covenant keeps me. Oh, you're with me here. We're too easy to get pulled right out and we forget about our covenant we have with one another. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Get planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. I think the King James says fat and flourishing. Come to church and get fat. Get full. Get full. Covenant. I started thinking about this word covenant again. Just think about covenant this week. Covenant, covenant. Covenant-mindedness. This ecosystem. Covenant-mindedness. All of Him. Listen. All of Him. He gets all of me. Right? What'd you say, Jamie? Right? I get all of Him. But when I come in covenant with someone, I get all of them also. I don't just get Him. He gets me. All my stuff. He's in covenant. God's in covenant with. It's the same with us as a body. When we have to hide the ugly, it's not a relationship. I need you to get this. If you're all times about hiding your ugly and coming through those doors with a smile on your face, that's really not a relationship. That's a Walmart passing in the aisle five. How you doing? I'm not saying we stand up here and we tear everybody all of our dirty laundry. But we need to be people that are vulnerable because we're in covenant. Nothing surprises me anymore. I'm being serious. Nothing surprises me. Yep, nothing surprises me. It's just, anymore it's like, eh, that doesn't shock me. Well, I don't know. Maybe it should shock me, but that don't shock me. But what I'm seeing happen in the church, I'm just saying here so much. I'm just saying, I'm seeing it across the body. I'm talking to pastors. It's everywhere. People are bringing a cohabiting mentality right into the church. And now, listen, I'm going to stay at arm's length. I don't need you to hurt me, right? So I'm going to stay over here, right? And it's fine. I can come and I can sit down at church and I can listen to you, Pastor Paul, and I can leave out of here. You're missing the point. We are one with one another. Church is not a perfect place. I put this down. It's a place of grace, do-overs, growth, change, mess-ups, bad decisions, fall down, get back up, go over it sometimes again with somebody. And you want to look at them and say, I told you that. What'd you do? What'd you do? Listen. I love helping people. I don't care if it's 10 times. I'm going to help you. Walk you through it. Because I know one thing. I need grace in my life. I don't know about you. You guys with me? So perfect church. There's strength in covenant. Let me just build a bridge real quick here. During vacation Bible school one year, a pastor's wife had an experience with her primary class that can teach us all a great lesson. About an hour before dismissal one evening, a new student was brought into the room. The little boy had one arm missing. Since the class was over, the teacher had no opportunity to learn the details of the situation, but she was nervous that one of the other children would say something insensitive to him, so she proceeded cautiously with the lesson. As the class time came to a close, she asked the children to join her in their usual closing ceremony. Let's make our churches, kids, putting her hands together to form the church. Here's the church, and here's the steeple. Open the door, and suddenly the awful truth struck her. The very thing she had feared that the children would do, she had done. As she stood there speechless, a little girl sitting next to the boy reached over with her left hand and place it up to his right hand and said, Josh, let's make the church together. That's the church. You bring your brokenness, I'll bring my brokenness. We're in covenant because your brokenness will be a part of my strength. I'll have a strength for your weakness, right? My weakness you'll have a strength for, and we'll build a church together, and it'll be something great and grand. And God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done what I called you to do. Yeah. Healthy ecosystem. What do we need? What do I want for you guys? What do I want for us as a church? It's to stay covenant-minded. Number two, value the presence of the Lord. This is what I'm asking. This is my plea to you. This is the state of the church address. Value the presence of the Lord. We do that here. Value the presence of the Lord. Value it, because that's what changes lives. Without the Spirit, we have nothing. We are a club. We're no different than a local civic group if we don't have the presence of the Lord. Every single service, we need to pray, God, let your Spirit be evident. Let your Spirit flood this place. Now, how that happens, I don't know. I just want to make space for the Holy Spirit to move. We don't want to ever put God in some type of box or some type of group. We don't want to do that, right? It may be 3 songs, it may be 4 songs, it may be 10 songs, it may be 2 songs, it may be 1 song, it may be no song. We want to do what God's telling us to do and let Him move and move with the rhythm of His grace and His power, and all of a sudden people's lives start being changed. Right? Valuing the presence of the Lord. Look at this. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. The Bible says, man, we have a greater covenant based on better promises. And man, this is the new covenant, the age of the Spirit. And this is what Moses said in Exodus chapter 33. God's calling Moses out, right? Moses said this to God. He said, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except for you go with us? So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Now the New Living Translation says it like this. Let's go down here to verse 16. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. What separates us is the presence of the Lord. Not fancy sermons, not fancy worship. And I'm thankful for our worship team. I'm thankful for your guys' ear to hear. I'm thankful for you guys. But listen, the minute you start building it on talent and talent alone, we've missed the mark. It's about the presence of Almighty God. That's what matters. And His praise. How will everybody else know we're different? Well, it's just the presence. The presence. So we as a church, I want us all as a church to value, always value the presence of the Lord. The life and the presence of God, the ecosystem, right? These components working together to produce an environment where things grow and there's life. Listen, the life and the presence of God are connected. Everywhere in Ezekiel 47, you could read about this river that came out of the side of the temple. Remember that? It came out of the side of the temple. It went out and it was ankle deep and it was knee deep and it was waist deep. And then it went waters to swim in. And the Bible says over Ezekiel 47 that everywhere the water went, there was life. You can read it. That temple actually is Jesus. It's the church. And the waters flow. The presence of God flows. And wherever the presence of God is, there's life. I ain't looking for dead things. I'm looking for things alive. And it starts with a body of people valuing the presence of the Lord. We've done this for years. We've done this for years. And we will continue to do this for years. Amen. Are you guys all right? Unity. Keeping unity. If you want to find God, you'll find Him in love and unity. Those are the two main characteristics. Where are you going to find God in the environment? His habitat. It's unity and love. If there's unity, there's love. In love there, God's there. Now, it may not be spectacular, but it will be supernatural. Because the spectacular and the supernatural, a lot of times, are two different things. I'm thankful for the spectacular, but I ain't looking for the spectacular. I'm looking for the supernatural. It may come through a moment of silence. It could come on a moment of a shout. It could come on a moment of someone sharing something, a prayer, sharing what's on their heart. Are you guys all right? Number three. Discipleship. Pursue discipleship. Pursue discipleship. Be with Jesus. Be like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. This is what I've been talking about for weeks. 7 weeks we spent. Spent 7 weeks talking about discipleship here. This is what we're talking about. Just being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus and doing what Jesus did. Just all of us together pursuing discipleship together. Listen, it will pour over into the local church expression. It will spill over. When we are pursuing Jesus together individually, when we come corporately, there will be an explosion of God's power because people are pursuing Jesus. You guys all right? Hallelujah. There's an expectation of growth in our lives. I don't know what you signed up for, but Christianity is not sitting in a pew or a chair. I'm not just saved. I'm saved to be trained. And I'm saved to be trained. That way I can go and do what Jesus done. And then we can pull a bunch more people in here. They can hear the truth. And the truth can make them free. Four main pillars of our church. Connect, grow, serve, go. Connect, grow, serve, go. Connect, grow, serve, go. You connect with God, connect with others. Serving God, growing, right? Connect, grow, growing in my faith, pursuing Jesus, become a disciple. I'm going to serve, right? These are the four pillars of our church. And then we got launched to go. That way we can go get somebody, and they can come here, and they can connect to God, connect to others. They can grow, they can serve, and then they can go. This is the way this thing multiplies. Discipleship needs to be pursued. Acts 2:42, the birth of the church. It says this, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. It says they continued steadfastly in it. That means, listen, there was opposition. when you continue steadfastly in something, it means you have to make a commitment to it. Apostles, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Listen, the apostles' doctrine wasn't on YouTube. Guess where they had to go to hear the apostles' teaching? They had to go to where the apostles were at. Which means what? They had to get there. Sharing our faith. Discipleship pursued. Next thing is this. Church attendance, community. This is what I want. I want us to pursue discipleship. I want us to be covenant-minded, value the presence of the Lord, discipleship being pursued, and then we want to have church attendance and community. Amen. Keep the gathering together of value to you. The one thing that I've saw, I've been here now 26 years, been pastor here for 10. That's unreal. 10 years in October that I've been in a full-time pastor position, the guy sitting in that seat. And I wish I'd known the things that was in that seat, that way I could have helped him better. But I've been here and been a part of this church 26 years as a youth pastor for 13. The one thing I've saw over the years is that the commitment to the local church is becoming less valuable in people's eyes. What's changed? I'm just asking a question. I'm not beating anybody up. I promise you, I'm not coming from a bad place in my heart at all. It's the stuff I'm seeing. The Bible tells us to not forsake. Hebrews chapter 10. It says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know you hear this stuff all the time. But this is what the Bible says. And it says in Hebrews 10. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You're going to have to learn to hold fast to something. There's stuff out there trying to pull stuff away from you. You got to hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, look here, let us consider one another. You can't consider one another unless you're with somebody. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love into good works. That's one of the reasons you come to church. Stir one another up to love and good works. You come in with a big sad face, someone ought to look at you and say, what's wrong with you? I'm here for you. Right? We got to start caring for people. If you don't watch out, you'll go right into the world and all of a sudden, it's about my Ford no more. It ain't my coop, not my poop. Sorry. It's just something I say, something. Not my coop, not my poop. But we do this, and now all of a sudden we become standoffish to the people that we're around, and the next thing you know, we don't care about the people that we're around. When it was back here 25, 30 years ago, man, people were, man, what's wrong with you? What's up with you? Are you okay? Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not what? Forsaking the what? Some assembly required. If you don't watch out, YouTube will become your pastor. And the guy on YouTube, whoever you're listening to, ain't going to come, bury you when you're dead, marry your kids. Ain't going to do that. Ain't going to show up at a hospital when you need them at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ain't showing up. Joe ain't showing up. Or whoever. He ain't showing up. But if you don't watch out, your phone will become your pastor. It will become your worship leader. You'll watch. I know. We've got people watching. We'll probably run everybody off. But we don't have that many viewers anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I ain't in this thing anyway for success. I'm in it for significance. Just telling you, not in for that. I know one thing. Listen, if you don't watch out, you'll sit at home and you'll forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I know, there's grace. But I'm talking about the things that cause an ecosystem within a local church to have life. You guys all right? Don't throw the tomato at me. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Didn't say anything about YouTube, but I'm just saying. Listen here. Sheep do not have any real defense mechanisms. Check this out. This is huge. Sheep don't have any real defense mechanisms. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have quills on their wool. They're not real fast. They're pretty dumb. Just being honest. They don't have sharp claws. The only real mechanism, defense mechanism for a sheep is a shepherd and the herd that they're with. The problem is in America, we got consumer Christianity. We have people that have the concept that Christianity is individualistic, it's personal, it's not communal, it's not interactive. Again, the consumer is interested, what can the church do for me? Not what can I do for the local church? Amen, are you guys all right? Because why? Destiny requires someone else. Destiny requires someone else. Your destiny, you need pollinated. You're a fruit tree. Now, I don't know anything about this. People probably do, but I've heard. Now, if somebody here knows anything about apple trees or anything, well, praise the Lord. All right, I'll come up with something here real quick. But I have heard that an apple tree will not be able to actually produce apples unless it has another tree that can pollinate it. Is that what it is? Think about that a second. The Bible calls us trees. Jesus said you'll bear fruit. You can't have it without that. Destiny requires others. When you find your people, you'll find your destiny. Right? That's what fellowship means. Partnership, participation. That's what it means. Word fellowship is not about dinners. That's just segues to fellowship. It's not about work parties. It's just segues to the mowing fellowship. Remember now, the mowing fellowship sign-up sheet is out there in the foyer. The fellowship, mowing fellowship sign-up sheet. Let me just, real quick, where would Paul be without Barnabas? Where would Jonathan or David be without Jonathan? Where would Ruth be without Naomi? Ruth, right? All the spouses are dead. Naomi looks at her daughter-in-laws and says, you go back to Moab. I would preach a whole message. Do you go back to your people? You go back. And what did Ruth say? One of them, her name was Orpah. She went back. But Ruth, what'd she say? Everybody remember what she said? Your people what are what? Your God is what? The next thing, she finds herself at the feet of Boaz, which is the grandfather of David, which was in the lineage of Jesus. Why? Because of destiny. She was connected to somebody. Next thing is this, real quick, serving. That's what we're asking. It's just some things. How do I help the local church ecosystem? Covenant minus, value the presence of the Lord, discipleship pursued, church tenants and community. And that community there, let me say something about that community. Is that, man, get a part of a journey group. Next week, we're going to have sign-up sheets out there. If you're not part of a journey group, we want you to become a part of one, and we'll get you into one. We got people that are ready and willing to start stepping into some roles that can help us to be able to grow this. We've been in about 5 years now. We've been in a little bit of a lull. We want to stir this back up. You and I need to value these things. Come on, somebody. You value the ball field. You value the core. Why wouldn't you value this thing that's giving you life? We're not asking for all your time. Go out here. We want to be a witness to the world and all that, but we can't find people anymore who wants to be committed to stuff. Hello? You guys all right? Serving. We want you to serve. Get a part of a journey group. That's a good thing. We'll have that out there next week. Serving. We need people to serve. If we're going to have life in this church, we got to have people serving. Church, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. We've saw volunteerism drop hugely. And there's people sitting here in this church that's not doing a thing. You can get mad at me. But I'm just saying, if we're going to have life in this church and we're going to have this an ecosystem, we got to have people serving. Well, I don't like that. Start doing something, man. We need help in the nursery. We need help. We need help with the children. We need help ushers. We need help. We need help. Well, none of that really calls my name. Can you open a door? Can you shake somebody's hand and say, we're welcome? Thanks for coming.
Come on, Pastor.
Can you help take a kid to the bathroom? Why? That doesn't fit. That's fine. What's in your heart? I want to hear it. Please come with your ideas. I would love to hear it. I would love to do this outreach or that. I want to hear those words. We got a lot of stuff, man. This building out here is going to be amazing. Amazing. But it won't work without people. You guys all right? You mad at me? If you are, I'm sorry. I'm a shepherd. I'm not here to beat you up. You do what you want. I ain't your Lord. Jesus is. But I want you to know, we got a great church. Awesome church. There's a lot of people. I'm not beating anybody up. We got a lot of people. Pound for pound, if you're saying we say it like that, and maybe that's not the right word, pound for pound, or our size of a church, listen, we have a great number of people that serve here. Large. Lots in big churches don't even have it. So I'm not, but listen, there's a lot to do. And I'm not looking for success, I'm looking for significance. But there's people in this room that has gifts that this church needs. There's gifts and dormant in you that this church needs, and it lacks. Listen, the body is lacking because the supply, there's things it's not supplying to one another. You don't know how much it means for a mom or dad to come in and say, listen, my kids are going to take good care of and be taught about Jesus. My babies are going to be taken care of. What that means? It's huge. Well, I don't have time. We don't have time for the thing that Jesus died for. He didn't die for your ball team. I'm not against it, but we're getting way out of balance. And guess what suffers? The church. First Corinthians, boy, I tell you, that's hard. I felt the spirit of Pastor Jim Baugus come on me. 1 Corinthians 12:28. You guys that don't know him and never met him, you just don't know, but I do right here. And God has appointed thee the church. First what? Apostles. Woo! Yeah. Second prophets. Third teachers. After that, miracles, the gifts of healings, administrations, varieties of tongues. That's good, isn't it? Oh, but I skipped one, didn't we? Because right in the middle of all those, there's that little word what? Helps. Helps. What could I do? I can help. Well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I don't have these gifts, I don't have that, but boy, I can help. Helps. Having enough loving people serving. A local body can be handicapped when the members don't serve. Do your part. Many hands make light work. Do your share. I'm not asking you to do it. Just do your share. Like music, something like it when all the parts are together. I think I've read this before, but I found this again. It says, Sir Michael Costa was a great orchestral conductor of the 19th century. It is said that one day he was conducting a rehearsal in which orchestra was trained by a great choir. Midway through the session, the piccolo player stopped playing. It seemed innocent enough. After all, who would miss the tiny piccolo, miss the great mass of instruments blazing away? All of a sudden, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra and choir. Stop, stop, stop. Where's the piccolo? What happened to that piccolo? We may sometimes feel like that piccolo player. We don't have much to offer. But when you're not there, it's missing. And the last thing is this. I know it's late. It's financial giving. And I'll stop. One of the ways a local church is effective is through the financial support of the church. I don't want to spend a long time on that because I know it's late. So I'm sorry I've kept you guys too long today. So come back next week and I'll make it longer. But listen, the church can't survive without the local church. The members giving. You guys are great givers here. Don't give up. I know it's hard. I get that. You're not supposed to give all your money to the church. That's not what we're saying. Just do your part. Because it takes money to do what we do. It takes money to provide for The Rock. It takes money. It takes money to provide for IMO and send money to Haiti. It takes money to build a building out here that's not cheap. Far from it. But we're doing something big for the kingdom of God because all of us are doing our part. Don't give up when you're giving. Don't give up when you're giving. I know you can get in a tight spot. I get all that. I understand. But a lot of times when people stop giving, they become disconnected to the church. Because you give what you value. You give to what you value. Amen? So the financial giving of the church to the church, the body of Christ, the local body, it keeps things moving. You guys are amazing. You guys are. You guys are amazing givers. Let's just not stop. I want to talk just a second here about Build the Dream. Back in October of 2021, we had a big campaign and we made commitments to give towards this building out here to be able to help pay the and keep the cost of that monthly payment down. We talked about how every $5 means much. Every $50, every $100. This is on top of what we give for your general tithes and offerings, right? I mean, we have to run the church. But this is a commitment. And these things are out there in the foyer. We love to see you sign up and give. If you want to give a one-time gift, you can do that also to give into what God's doing. I can't wait to show you and just talk to you a little bit more about what God has done through this whole process. But God has done some major, major miraculous things. God's providing. But we will have, unless that guy comes with that $750,000 check and wants to write that out to me, we're going to have to make a payment. And we want to get that thing paid off as quickly as we can. It's going to come for all of us doing our part. So you can get these out there, sign up every month, give it, put it into the building fund. It helps us to make that payment. Going to help us make the payment. We're making payments now. But help us to make that payment when we close on this thing in May. Amen? I love you guys. I do. I can't tell you how much I thank you for all of the support. It's a blessing. And you are a blessing to Pastor. Every one of you. You guys don't give hard time. We don't have hard time. I don't have bunch of problems here. So I want to say thanks. The Lord says thanks. We're doing something big here. Let's keep our ecosystem alive, full of life. Amen? Got that? Come stand to your feet. I'll get...
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.